Welcome back to K-Grade Cinema. If you were looking for consistency, you've come to the wrong place.
That's right, folks. We're more erratic than a green snake up a sugar cane.
Nailed it.
Hey, everybody. I'm Josh.
And I'm Rachel. Thanks for joining us as we look again at another 80s classic to see if it's K-Grade.
Tonight's going to be a very difficult film for me to critique and pick apart because it happens to be one of my favorites.
Really?
It absolutely is. I love this movie. This is a childhood favorite of mine.
Back to the Future.
We are talking about Back to the Future.
Michael J. Fox, were you ever so young?
It was just this perfect film to come along and be, I don't know, like sci-fi, but also relatable and sort of down to earth, you know?
So what spurred on this Back to the Future watching is, I don't know if anyone out there is familiar with Lego Dimensions. Pretty cool game, check it out. But our kid is super into it and got a Back to the Future pack for his birthday. And we were watching it and they have little cutaways and he's just like, oh, it's the best. And we were like, yeah, let's watch it. And after watching about 30 minutes with my 7-year-old, I was like, damn, I was watching a made-for-TV edit because I don't remember this forced rape thing.
But yeah, there's certainly some things that are not for a younger audience.
No. So if you are remembering the TV cut as I was, don't let your kid watch this movie. Or find the TV cut where they don't use racist slurs, probably, like they do in this one. You jump right into the movie with Michael J. Fox coming in to Doc Brown's house, garage house. They don't explain why this teenage boy is really good friends with this older male. And maybe that was just the 80s where it wouldn't have been that weird for a teenager to have an adult male friend, but you definitely can't do that in 2018.
Yeah, it's a much different time now. Some would say a better time, a safer time, but I don't know. There's something to be said for stories that involve this sort of, you know, relationship between a younger man and an older. Does that sound weird?
No. Not weird. I don't understand people who say that it was a safer time in the 80s when, just if you look at the statistics, we are in the safest part of human history ever. But people keep saying it was a safer time. I want to blame 24-hour news for feeling of unease in society.
Right. Well, when you think about it, a lot of stuff that happened in the 80s has given us the consequence of having sort of helicopter parents. And
do you think Unsolved Mysteries played a hand in that?
I think
that. Or America's Most Wanted.
Sure. All that stuff. Even Rescue 911 to a certain extent.
They saved that deer baby, though.
Yeah, but like parents see that and just like, well, I'm never letting my kid play on the beach by himself again because he's going to get buried in a mound of sand. Like that kid that got buried in a mound of sand.
Oh, right. Yeah.
This film was directed by Robert Zemeckis.
Hit us with the stats, Josh. Did you IMBD this man?
I Wikipedia'd him.
Well, I mean, anyone can put anything they want on there, so you know it's legit.
You know it is. He directed not just Back to the Future, he directed Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
That movie was really good.
Absolutely.
It's formidable.
Death Becomes Her. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
Goldie Hawn, Meryl Streep.
Yes. Dude, Goldie Hawn, back in the day, she was a funny fucking lady.
She really was. She was great. I mean, not that she's not funny now.
No, I just don't know. I haven't seen her. Yeah,
haven't.
I don't know what she's doing.
He directed Forrest Gump, of course.
Oh, really?
He did.
Did he get an Oscar for that?
That
trophy that doesn't mean shit.
Right. I'm not sure. I know Forrest Gump won Oscars, but I don't know if he won for.
I know about Forrest Gump, and my grandma talks about this all the time, that part where he's running up the mountain, that was filmed near my house. That's my grandma.
But you know, it's funny because Robert Zemeckis, to me, he's always struck me as sort of the poor man's Steven Spielberg, you know?
That's funny because those are some heavy hitting movies and you see them as poor man movies.
No, not poor man movies, but like I guess there's a Spielberg.
Is he the understudy to Spielberg?
Sort of. There's a Spielberg gloss that I think coats any one of Spielberg's movies where you're watching it and you're just like, oh, okay, this is definitely Spielberg.
Oh, he can't let the bad guys win.
Right, no. Never, ever.
Never. And I honestly, there are so many Spielberg movies that I think would be better if the bad guys won.
Like what?
Well, some of them you would have to really change the original content that they're gleaned from.
Like Schindler's List.
Yeah. Or I was thinking War of the Worlds.
Right.
Like if that movie ended badly, I think it would be a better movie. But again, you'd be changing the original text you got it from. But who says you can't do that?
Yeah, Jules Verne didn't do that, you know. So yeah, H.G. Wells didn't do that. I don't know who wrote War of the Worlds. It was H.G. Wells.
H.G. Wells. Keep that in.
Yeah, I'm an idiot.
When I was watching this movie, and I really feel like we don't need to do a play-by-play of Back to the Future, because who the hell hasn't seen Back to the Future?
Right. I mean, it's pretty ubiquitous.
It is. At this point, I'm wondering, though, when are they going to reboot Back to the Future or redo it and fuck it all up?
Who knows? I mean, they're already talking about doing a new Bill and Ted, right? Which...
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure? You gotta be kidding me.
Yeah.
Actually, what I wanted to say is you gotta be shitting me. Yeah. It was the one movie...
The two movies.
Well...
Because you got Adventure and Bogus Journey, which actually a lot of... I don't know. I've talked to people who are fans of the franchise, and there's plenty out there that think that Bogus Journey was better than Excellent Adventure.
I have read on a lot of, you know, reliable sources, Reddit, that Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure is Keanu Reeves' one awesome movie. That's the movie he was meant to be in, and everything else is just an afterthought. But, you know, whatever. Ruin someone's opus. Who cares?
My name is Ted Theodore Logan.
Be excellent.
Be excellent to each other.
Be excellent to each other.
Words to live by. I mean, that's why...
You'd laugh, but those aren't
good words
to live by.
We need you now, Wild Stallions, more than ever.
But as I was watching Back to the Future with my kid, you know, the first 20 minutes you don't realize this isn't appropriate for kids because... The swearing is to a minimum, and it's like, you know, swear words to a little kid, like, you know, shut up and stuff like that.
Sure.
But there is so much product placement. It saturates this movie.
I mean, the first what, 10 minutes or so, mm-hmm. where you have...
After he leaves Doc Brown's place.
Right. From the
and
time...
And he realizes he's late for school.
Yeah.
You are inundated.
Yes. I think in a way, I mean, it almost even starts with the opening sequence because you have all those clocks and there's some like, you know, clocks where on the face you see the brand of the clock. I don't think they really got money from clocks.
I doubt
suppliers.
It. I mean, but there are some clocks. Yeah. And there are some noticeable clocks like cat clocks, but you can't go out and buy a cat clock. Those things are worth like $200.
Yeah. They're dope.
But there's so much. There's Mountain Dew.
Mm-hmm.
Mountain Dew hat.
Burger King.
Burger King is the first thing you see, and it's just a huge Burger King.
I mean, obviously, Doc Brown lives next to a Burger King, which, I mean, that's convenient.
For sadness reasons.
I mean, for egg and cheese croissant sandwiches. I don't know of a better way to start the day.
Oh, yeah, I forgot how much you love egg and cheese croissant sandwiches.
Doc, are you trying to tell me?
It's 8:25.
I do the worst.
Oh, the school.
I do the worst Marty McFly. But damn it, I wish I could. If there was one impression that I wish I could do.
Marty McFly.
Or just Michael J. Fox in general.
Well, his voice sounds a lot like different. It's way lower.
Way higher?
Way higher. I mean, he's just a kid in this. So we got Burger King. Ford.
Is that Texaco?
Texaco.
Aerobics.
Jazzercise.
Jeep.
I just save your life.
That's the power of Toyota.
Where's our checks?
Toyota, Mayor Goldie Wilson, which that's just free campaign finance. That's got to be against the law.
That's the mayor in their fictitious town.
Yeah, I know who Mayor Goldie Wilson is.
Don't sass me. The 80s is where you really see a lot of shoehorned romance.
Mm.
They could have made this movie a buddy movie. Easy. He did not need that girlfriend.
Right.
And I guess you could argue, well, you needed it to make the sequel. But did you need that sequel?
And the thing is you can argue you didn't need Jennifer at all in the first Back to the Future. She could show up later and that would be fine, especially since they get a different actress for the second and third parts.
Right?
It's Elizabeth Shue coming off of the wild success of The Karate Kid, you know. She was Jennifer in Back to the Future 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's unnecessary to have her throughout the movie. You could have just stuck her in at the end as like an afterthought.
Right.
Because she has a bigger role in the second movie anyways.
Right.
So who cares if she's an afterthought in this one?
Also, you know, it's weird because in this movie about time travel and fate, there's almost this suggestion that, hey, kids, you know that boyfriend or girlfriend that you have in high school? Well, that's the person you're going to be with for the rest of your days. So, you know, it would be a much more realistic movie if they went 15 years in the future and Marty, you know, had, like, gone off to college. He spent a summer backpacking through Europe. You know, he's got this girlfriend from Greenwich Village that he met when he moved up there to be a marketing person. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, he was into music, but, like, went up there to make his music. Yeah, it would make more sense.
Right.
But, yeah, it does. It shows, like, this is what you got from here on out. How much do you hate Marty McFly's dad's character?
Who, George?
Yes.
George McFly?
Oh my gosh. He is such a prick. Such a douche. Like, I don't understand. They made him so unlikable.
I think this is one of the areas where you and I are really going to disagree. And I think it's because I have a man crush on Crispin Glover. As an
actor. Have the man crush all you want.
I have an acting crush on Crispin Glover.
It's not that he did a bad job. He did a fine job.
Sure, yeah, he did.
But his character is weak and so lame. He has no redeeming qualities. So this would make me think that in this universe, time is cyclical and Marty has always gone back in time. Because there's no other way his dad would have gotten with his mom. Because in this movie, when Marty McFly goes back in time, he convinces his dad to go over to his car to stop Marty from, you know, getting fresh with his mom.
Mm-hmm.
But then, what's the bad guy's name?
Biff?
Yeah. But then Biff comes over.
How are you qualified to even talk about this movie?
Hey, just because we don't hang out that much, I don't know their names. But Biff comes over, scares away Marty McFly, and then he proceeds to literally try to rape this chick. And George comes over thinking it's still Marty McFly he's going to save her from. And it's Biff. And she has to convince him to save her from an actual rape. And yet she's still like in, oh, you're so brave, I love you. I'd be like, thanks a lot, piece of shit. Took you long enough.
Yeah, okay, fine. But he
eventually
laid out Biff and punched him in the face and hit him hard. And that's what, it's a movie, first of all. Second of all,
is a movie, but you're supposed to find this character at least endearing.
But that's the thing, is that George McFly doesn't start out that way. George McFly is this very pathetic sort of piece of shit. He's cowardly.
Right, but how did he get with her in the first place if time isn't cyclical? Marty McFly would have always had to go back in time, would have always had to do the things he'd done, or else she would have never got with him.
No, but they explained it. They explained that the reason that they went to the Enchanted Under the Sea dance in the first place is because in the original timeline...
Right, he falls out of the tree from spying on her.
And she gets that Florence Nightingale syndrome.
Oh, come on.
That's what they say. That's the plot.
He's such a loser.
But that's explained. It's because of Marty's presence in this alternate timeline that he sort of interrupts that Biff was there to pick a fight and try to rape Leah Thompson in the first place, right? If Marty had never happened upon them...
But he's still lame. As an adult, he lets Biff walk all over him, poop, and, like, just be a total douche.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the movie, when things turn out great for them and they're rich now, instead of learning any lessons, George just becomes a dick to Biff.
It's a smooth transition of power to exactly the same.
Exactly.
You're just going to reverse roles.
Yeah. So even at the end, I'm just like, fuck you. Like, I still don't like him. He's the worst.
No, but I mean, okay. So I think even though it's a little bit clunky and it's a little bit sophomoric, this is, you know, the character arc of George McFly. It's like he starts in one place where he is a character that you feel nothing for. And maybe it's, I don't, you know, it doesn't work for everybody that you eventually come around to George. He does sort of show change over time. He has this arc.
Yeah, he does have an arc. He goes from a sniveling loser to an asshole.
To a frosted tips jerk off.
Yeah. Do you know who I actually have more sympathy for? Is Biff. Because in the end, he becomes the nice sniveling guy. Because George was never nice to Biff. He was scared of him.
Right.
But in this one, Biff is really nice to George. Like, oh, look, you got your new book. Yay, you did it. And he's still like, you know, fuck off, Biff. Such a dick.
Isn't there a moment, though, in... Now, see, I might be jumping to part two, where we get more of a sense of this in part two. But I think there's a moment where the sweet, kind, sniveling Biff of the corrected timeline, he's still, like, sort of seething under the surface, and he hates George.
That's definitely
George.
Part two.
Yeah.
Yeah, because at the end, he's just a nice guy.
Right.
You could not make this movie today with its casual terrorism.
Yeah, there's a lot. Yeah, sorry. We just started talking about the beginning. We haven't gone through all of them.
So Doc Brown steals the plutonium. No, he doesn't steal the plutonium. The Libyans. Thank you. The Libyans steal the plutonium, give it to him under the guise that he is going to build them a weapon. And he's like, oh, I didn't even build a weapon. See, I can't do it. I can't do...
Oh, Marty, I can't remember. Things with old pinball pots. It was weird.
It is. So he has this secondhand stolen plutonium to power the time machine. Because right. You need...
1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts! But then the Libyans... Oh, I can't do it. Do it.
What, say the Libyans?
No, he said, oh, Marty, the Libyans, they found us.
Oh, I don't know how, but they found us. I can't do it. I can't do Doc Brown, and I can't do Michael J. Fox. I just can't do it. They're too unique and individual.
They do have a very distinct flavor.
They do.
But the Libyans come with their guns and just, like, start spraying bullets.
You know, in the parking lot of the Twin Pines Mall, like you do.
At no point did anyone think that they weren't observed. Like, where is this mall in the most deserted part of town? It's just, like, the mall and then desert around it.
Well, it's the mark of a safe community that you can have a shootout in a mall parking lot for 15 solid minutes and no sign of police anywhere.
Yeah, and they're really hitting that JCPenney's mark hard.
More product placement at the mall with JCPenney, and you have...
There's so much, though.
You see a Sears and something else.
There's so much product placement. Not that product placement doesn't exist now. When there is product placement, Pepsi... Like, say there's Pepsi product placement. Pepsi's everywhere in the movie. You don't just see it one time.
Right.
It seems more like you strike up deals with companies. But back then, it seems like, well, you give us $100, we'll put your hat in it.
Yeah. Like the guy driving the Jeep with a Mountain Dew hat.
Exactly.
Exactly.
That hat, they got that hat for free, and then $100.
If you want the $1,000 package, if you want to get that Toyota exposure, it's going to cost...
We'll drive the Toyota down the road. That's going to be $5,000. You will see an unobstructed Toyota logo twice. Guaranteed. It's a weird way to pimp a movie, but at the same time, I wonder how many movies wouldn't have gotten made without product placement.
Sure.
Because I doubt a movie like, even though this is very successful, it's still a movie that in 1985 was probably seen as just like, oh, it's just a kid's movie. We're not going to make that much money. Who cares? Yeah. So they probably wouldn't have been able to get totally financed through a production company. So on one hand, you're just like, oh, product placement, you're a slut. But then on the other hand, it's like, but I need to.
You know, I mean, everybody was trying to hop on the blockbuster bandwagon of Star Wars and Jaws. Even still, sci-fi isn't the safest bet in the world if you're a marketing person.
No, of course not. Look at that that Tom Cruise joint where he starts over time and again.
That was just a mistake in marketing. It has two different titles. It has two. It's Edge of Tomorrow.
Edge of Tomorrow.
Is, I think, the actual thing. But on the poster, they put Live, Die, Repeat. And so people just started calling it Live, Die, Repeat. It was a nightmare for that film. But what I've heard, I haven't seen it, but I've heard other people say it's amazing.
I think it was the last podcast, Trey was telling us all that it's actually pretty dang good.
Yeah, that just goes to show how shitty my memory is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's the brain damage.
Damage.
Doc Brown dies. I didn't remember that until I watched it again with my 7-year-old. And he was like, is he dead? Yep. Son of a bitch.
It was goddamn Libyans. I don't know what to tell you, son. That's just how Libyans do.
It's a war on terror that you are now privy to. Cash gray.
Cinema would like to specify that we do not think that Libyans are all that way. We were just simply making a joke. Thank you and good night.
Back to your regular scheduled programming.
So just before Doc Brown eats it in the parking lot of the Twin Pines Mall, he shows Marty McFly his greatest invention. He's made a time machine, but he's made it out of a DeLorean. And what's so funny is that Rachel is just young enough that she turned to me and she's like, DeLorean, is that an actual car company?
Well, I didn't know. No, I knew that they were real because I've seen people with their awesome made to look just like that DeLorean in the movie DeLorean. So I knew they were real car, but I didn't realize. I thought it was like a niche, like made specifically for the movie.
Made for the movie.
Right, yeah. Like the luggage in Darjeeling Limited. Made specifically for the movie.
That's a good point. And yeah, I think it's a lot more similar to the Darjeeling Limited because we all know that
Louis Vuitton.
Yeah, Louis Vuitton is an actual designer, but the luggage that you see, it's simply made just for that film.
It's a one-off, yeah.
But there's still Louis Vuitton bags of other kinds. Yeah. So,
That's what I thought.
Yeah, no. Those are, that's the real deal, DeLoreans. But it's completely defunct company now. They don't make anything now, I don't think.
They should make kits, because people would buy those. I would buy that.
I would buy a DeLorean kit, straight up, if it came with a flux capacitor.
Well.
I have to make my own.
Where are you going to get that much plutonium?
It doesn't matter. Kick it up to 88. See what happens.
Call your Libyan friends. Ask if they can get you some plutonium. And they'll be like, what the hell are you talking about?
Don't mess with me. I know you got the plutonium connection.
Now I'll get tapped by the NSA. Thanks a lot.
Alexa, am I being tapped by the NSA?
And then it shuts down.
Yeah. It like crumples itself up and like disappears into another dimension.
Huh, that's the sixth one.
Siri, order another Alexa.
I wonder if Siri would order you an Alexa.
I like to think that in the future, and of course all we need is a DeLorean with a flux capacitor to find this out, but I feel like in the future there's going to be like turf wars between artificial intelligence that are owned by specific brands.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be like the war of Siri versus Alexa. Like the Siri.
Well, they don't
Alexa
have legs yet, so we're okay for now.
No, but like when they get like drones and, you know, upright walking
robots.
Oh,
right, so that
like
drones will just
droids.
Crash into each other.
Yeah.
They'll take out each other first before us.
And like, meanwhile, we'll all be like still in suburbia, just like, God damn it, when's my sweater gonna get here? I ordered that dildo weeks ago.
So when Marty McFly goes back in time, he crashes at a farm. I love that the dad's answer at this farm is to immediately start shooting. Immediately. The kid shows him his book, like, look, it's definitely an alien. The dad's like, that's all the evidence I need. Go get my gun. And starts blowing him away. Even though he comes out in his radiation suit, sure, but he's talking.
Right.
But still, it's just like, that's just a trick. He's already learning our language as he blows another shot through the door.
His kid says, like, he's already taken human form. Which is, it's pretty good. I mean, it's really funny. And of course, it's over the top and cartoonish. But would you have the farmer any other way?
No,
if he came
out
and he was a reasonable character?
I can't think of a different way to make that scene. And in Lego Dimensions, you know, there's not violence because it's Lego. So they take the gun away. And instead, they show him chasing Marty McFly. And then he gets in the DeLorean and smashes into his house and collapses it and drives away.
So it's a lot darker.
It is, actually. But they make it all fun and smiles. Cartoon.
They're going to have to foreclose on the farm.
Well, they just need to get their Lego manual back out and their Lucy pieces from the last time.
That's a good point. I forget that consequences are different in Lego world. Once Marty escapes from the murderous farmer and his confused family, he hides the DeLorean and he shows up in a 1955 version of Hill Valley.
It's a nicer Hill Valley.
It's certainly cleaner.
More stores are open.
More stores are open. However, if you thought that there was a lot of product placement in the opening scene, oh man, watch out, because 1955 Hill Valley is just as saturated.
That it is.
With product placement.
He doesn't look that 80s to me, Marty McFly. Maybe his puffy vest, which have come back around. But everyone looks at him like he's a psycho. Just like, I mean, vest exist. Everyone keeps asking if it's a flotation vest, but they still exist in the 50s. It's funny how they react to him. I would have thought they would have seen his shoes as the most unusual part of his outfit. But it's the vest.
Right.
The vest they can't let go of. Like, no. That's a freak's vest.
It's weird. It's almost like a one of those running jokes that maybe belongs squarely in a 1985 understanding of what 1955 people would think about.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I like in the 50s version, they do not shy away from the product placement of beers in this definitely movie for teenagers, like Miller High Life.
Well, back then the drinking age was what, 12? 14?
Well, that's if you couldn't afford clean water. So you're the kind of person in this movie who would have seen the 50s as like this derelict wasteland. Because the drinking age is 6.
Yes.
They don't shy away from the racism.
No, they don't. They don't. In very short order.
The man who's currently running for mayor, you meet him at the malt shop. He is a janitor at a malt shop.
Yeah.
He doesn't do anything but sweep.
Maybe he's a soda jerk.
Yeah. But the man who runs the place isn't particularly nasty about his racism.
No.
But when Marty McFly sees him and says, "You're running for mayor." And he goes, "Mayor? Yes." And this guy who owns the soda shop says, "A black mayor. Yeah. I'll see the day."
That'll be the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like.
The whole Goldie Wilson thing really is the first thing to really support your claim of time is cyclical. Because before this, you know, in this original timeline, no one sort of came in to spur on Goldie Wilson to become mayor.
Right.
But now in this alternate one, Marty McFly showed up and he said, "That's right, you're going to be mayor." And it's almost like that's the thing that sparks
clicks for
it.
Him in his brain, like, I'm going to
be mayor.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe, you know. Not maybe it's cyclical. You know, it's a silly movie, but yeah.
In this universe. Maybe it's cyclical.
Maybe it's cyclical.
And then Marty McFly sees his dad.
What's good old Pops doing back in 1955?
I don't know, something stupid, like drinking milk and bitching about stupid shit and then getting harassed by Biff. And it, to me, what's the most frustrating is he can't admit that he's being harassed by Biff. He's like, no, this is just how we're friends. No, that's not.
Part of our darn. My name is Jess, and I'm going to be doing the rest of the podcast completely wasted. Sorry. You were saying about how you hate George McFly.
I do. He's just such a lackluster character. And he didn't need to be. He could at least admit to himself that Biff hated him.
Right.
Why did he have to pretend that Biff was awesome? And then when Marty McFly tries to point out to him, like, "Hey, Biff's treating you like crap," he turns on Marty like, "No, you're an asshole." What? I know that bullying can cause erratic behavior in people, but this just doesn't even make sense.
Right.
And it's just annoying.
The other thing is that George McFly is a pervert.
Yes, he's a peeping Tom pervert.
Yeah.
The story is that he was bird watching or some crap like that.
Well, it was alluded to when they were telling, Leah Thompson was telling the story of how they met in 1985 before Marty went back in time. She says something like, "What was it, George? Bird watching?" And she and he goes like, "What, Elaine? What?"
Okay, so it is alluded to that he told her later what he was really doing.
Or that she knew.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Still, doesn't make me like him. He's a pervert with a weak backbone.
Yeah.
He has so many unredeeming qualities. You can't have that many and still expect to craft a likable character.
Right.
But I did like Back to the Future. And rewatching it, I still liked it. I just shouldn't have watched it with my 7-year-old. Not just the swear words and the terrorism and the racism.
Right.
But I did still like it. Did you still like it?
Of course. Yeah. It's still one of my favorite movies.
It still holds up.
Yeah.
It's cool. And it is in the ether of society. Like, people love when Marty McFly and...
Doc Brown.
When they get together and do stuff again.
Yeah.
Like, when they've done stuff on late night before to promote...
Didn't they show up at the Oscars or something crazy?
They've done a few things to, like, to promote the anniversary of the movie, to promote... Mostly to promote Michael J. Fox's charity.
Mm-hmm.
They do a lot. They still do, like, not a lot. But when they do it, people freaking love it. They lose their minds over it. It's very 80s.
Yeah.
Everything about it is so 80s. The music, the outfits, the way the characters interact with each other. So I get why people like it. I still like it. Is it a cash grab? I'm going to say Back to the Future 2, most definitely. But this one, I don't think so. I don't think they expected the kind of success that they got. Does it have product placement? Yes. Is there a butt ton of it? Hell yeah. I think that's how they had to get the money to make the movie.
Mm.
But I don't think they set out to make a
cash grab.
I think they just set out to make a fun movie. And they accomplished that. Does it have some faults? Hell yeah. Like, George, such a douche. But it's got so much else. It's funny. It puts a teenager in a role in the 80s, in a time where roles for teenagers were kind of like, just very lackluster. But this role was great. Like, it showed teenagers that you didn't have to be a hero. Like, Marty McFly never set out to be a hero. And it seemed like a lot of movies in the 80s were just like, no, we're heroes.
Mm.
But I like it, and I do not think it's a
cash grab.
It holds up to the test of time. Maybe you guys want to check it out. But Josh, do you think Back to the Future is a
cash grab?
I'm going to agree with you that Back to the Future is not a
cash grab.
Now, the thing is, you say that... Back to the Future 2 definitely was a
cash grab.
As inundated as this film is with product placement, it pales in comparison with Back to the Future 2. I mean, there's that whole scene where he shows up in the future and he goes to the same like malt shop or whatever, and they have that Max Headroom, Michael Jackson head, whatever it was, selling Pepsi. I mean, that was pretty over the top.
Yes.
They had like Jaws 16 and all this. In 2015, because we remember that. I agree with you that for this first film, at least, they were genuinely trying to make something fresh and new and artistic. This film is a complete classic and amazing. For all of its tiny little flaws, I think it's still great. What do you think of, like, after seeing it now with the not-so-subtle racism, what do you think of the Family Guy joke about... Doc Brown getting Marty to go back in time or go forward in time because her daughter marrying a black man.
Marty, your daughter marries a black man.
We're actually okay with that.
Oh, me too. It makes more sense because I didn't get that joke before because I didn't understand. Because there normally has a reason behind their jokes in Family Guy.
Right.
Just like with South Park, there's normally something underlying. They don't just like say mean or racist stuff for no reason.
They don't just have Caitlyn Jenner running over people with their car.
Exactly, because she did that. but I thought maybe Christopher Lloyd did or said something super racist, and that's why they made that joke. I actually even looked into it, because that would make me sad. But he didn't. Nothing I could find. Anyways, maybe he did, but nothing I could find. And so it didn't make sense to me. I was just like, normally there's reasons behind it. But after rewatching the movie, I was just like, oh, right. Because all the racist shit. But I mean, it makes sense, because they go back to the 50s.
Yeah.
Shit was pretty racist.
I mean, I think it was still, pardon the expression, very much sort of whitewashed over the racism that probably existed there. But it was also California in the 50s, you know, and we can imagine perhaps a slightly more progressive situation.
Right. I actually got to the part, I was totally listening to you. I wasn't. I just got to the part where the most racist scene, when they lock Marty McFly into the jazz band's trunk.
Yeah.
And then they call him reefer addicts. Reefer addicts. When did Reefer Madness come out?
Well, before the 50s. Like, it came out in the 30s or something.
I wonder if that's what they're referring to. Because I do know that used to be a movie that kids watched in health class. To scare them away from the evil marijuana.
Yeah. The jazz man's devil stick.
If that's not a thing, it definitely should be. Well, I think we've concluded Back to the Future was not a
cash grab.
Pretty good movie.
Oh, yeah. It's an amazing movie.
Overtly racist at times.
It makes you think when you catch some of the product placement in this film, some of those things don't really exist anymore, or they're certainly not, they're not as prevalent as they were when the film came out.
Definitely.
He's back in 1955 and he goes to the malt shop and the guy asks him if he's going to order anything. He's like, yeah, give me a tab, right?
Yes. Pepsi free.
You want a Pepsi, pal, you're gonna pay for it, you know. Yeah. Which, yeah, I don't think Pepsi free doesn't exist anymore, right?
No, it's Diet Pepsi.
Yeah, you have like Coke Zero and
yeah.
Fun
fact that I know, products like Pepsi Free, Coke Zero, crap like that, it's all just Diet Pepsi marketed, repackaged, and sold to men. Because men don't typically, you won't see a lot of men drinking Diet Pepsi or Diet Cokes or Diet whatever, because there's so many commercials gearing it towards women that in the ether of society, it's not weird that it's thought of as a woman's drink, because that's how it was marketed.
As a man, I can attest that drinking any sort of diet beverage is incredibly emasculating.
It I mean, unless you're Naomi Campbell, you cannot drink that Diet Pepsi. She did a Diet Pepsi commercial.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Unless you're Gillian Jacobson.
Oh, yeah, she does Diet Pepsi now. Every time I see someone hawk a Diet Pepsi, I'm just like, come on now. What are you doing? You got money. You know that crap causes cancer.
No, dude. No, Taylor Swift needs that money from the Diet Coke
She's
people.
She's barely making it.
Yeah.
Hobbling one check to the next.
And the whole time, all of her crew making fun of her for making that Diet Coke ad. And, you know, she's just got to shake it off. Shake it off.
Get out of this house.
We love you, Tay-Tay.
Speak for yourself.
Well, you've heard it from us, Josh and Rachel, that Back to the Future is a not boiler.
Stop saying that. Not a thing. So maybe we'll be back next week and we won't fail you by letting 4 to 5 weeks elapse again. Probably not. Who knows? We are incredibly lazy. Not that we're not grateful to our listeners, but you know, that laziness.
I'm in a chaise lounge right now being fed grapes.
Get the hell out of my chaise lounge. I don't know what we'll be watching next week. Maybe something more modern. Who knows? Hey, what did you think of Bright?
I liked it.
Ugh, God, me too. That shit was awesome. I love seeing Will Smith be Will Smith again.
Will Smith being Will Smith. Like, put him into any fantasy world, weird sort of world where things are a little bit off, and just watch him react.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Enjoy his zingers. Just welcome back, Will. You know what? You didn't win that Oscar, but who gives a crap? Those trophies are meaningless.
Yeah, Will. You keep doing you.
Exactly. And if you're doing it to win an Oscar, you're doing it for the wrong reasons anyways.
Yeah, Oscars are stupid.
They are stupid.
This will probably be the last episode we record before the Oscars broadcast. So do you have any Oscar, any films that you want to win, like Best Picture?
Oh, I really was surprised that fucking Boss Baby got nominated for an Oscar. What? Our kid, as I've said a few times in this episode, is 7 and he has seen Boss Baby. And I told him that it was up for a big award and he's like, that's weird. Right? I mean, come on.
Wait, they're going to celebrate that film?
And Lego Batman, which to me is one of the best iterations of who Batman is at the core, to come out in years, got nothing. What?
A film that like really deeply explored this part of the Batman psyche that's always been there. That
has been ignored for a long time.
Yeah, exactly. But it's always been there. I thought it was a great film. I don't know why they wouldn't nominate it.
I really liked it. Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. Boss Baby isn't going to win because Pixar made a movie this year. Yeah. Whenever Pixar makes a movie, like, that's a done deal. They're going to win.
Sure.
Especially a movie like Coco.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no way they're not going to win.
Yes.
But it's still stupid. Come on now. And then, this is going to sound terrible, but like, I'm really glad that a movie like Get Out has Oscar nominations. Not because it's a film starring a very awesome leading black character. That's not it at all, because it's scary.
Right.
Scary movies, even really good ones, have often been ignored.
Yeah.
By the Oscars.
Yeah, that, by the way, Get Out is my pick. Like, if anything could win Best Picture, or I think Jordan Peele got nominated for Best Original Screenplay. Mm-hmm. So Daniel Kaluuya.
When I saw him in Black Mirror in that episode from season one,
15 million merits or 15 credits. Million,
yeah, merits. Mm-hmm. I called it. I knew it. Even before his, if you haven't seen that episode, spoilers. Even before he put the broken piece of mirror to his neck and did that speech, I knew he was going to be, in a matter of time, in an Oscar situation.
Sure.
Because he's just so good.
Yeah.
He's so good. And when I see him from time to time, because he hasn't done a lot of late night talk shows, but when I see him, he just seems so nice and like genuine. Same with the guy who plays Finn.
John Boyega.
He just seems so nice.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what it is about British actors of that age group right now. They just seem so nice and cool and just, they're great. But he, Daniel especially, something special about that guy. Yeah. And if he doesn't win this one, he'll eventually win.
Yeah. I want to win just for the swag.
Well, you don't have to win to get the swag. That's the best part. Just get nominated. Just show up and get the swag.
Yeah, that's what I would do. To finish off that topic, the Oscars are bullshit and it doesn't matter anyway.
It just doesn't matter. So if your movie didn't get picked, if you're really disappointed, if you feel Oscar slight, just remind yourself, it can't possibly matter.
To quote Michael Cera from Superbad, it's soccer.
Right? It is. When my cousin Vinny can win an Oscar, it goes to show you, you can just buy those things.
What, Marissa Tomei?
Yeah.
I don't know if that was bought or if that was bought. For those who don't have perceptive hearing, I just put my fist in my hand.
Well, you got to do it right.
It would be tragic if you befell some unfortunate accident. Or you could give Miss Tomei the award she deserves.
She earned. Don't you think she earned it? Well, we'll be back next week. Doubt it. Follow us on Twitter at CashGrab Cinema, Facebook by the same name. Thanks for coming along with our ramblings. And we'll see you next... Oh, you don't see us. We'll see you.
Goodbye!